So this morning, welcome to you all before we get started. And as you may or may not know, we've been working through the New Testament book of 2 Timothy, which is one of Paul's last letters to Timothy. Paul wrote this letter from within prison. And so it is a letter from a sort of elder, senior person in the church, Paul, who was, for those of you who don't know, suffered greatly for the gospel and the work of the church in the early days. It's a letter from Paul to a young guy who's a young church leader, and it's a letter of instruction and encouragement. And so we're going to look at chapter 3 of the second letter to Timothy, and we'll just read through this as we get started. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Yannes and Yambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be made plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word this morning, as we look into this passage, as we try and understand what Paul was writing to Timothy, and as we try and understand what your word means to us today, we just pray that you would open our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would work in us to help us see the truth before us in your word this morning. And I just pray that that we would all come away from this time this morning with a renewed understanding, and that we might all be encouraged and driven to serve you better. So we just pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. So the first point of my message this morning is that these are terrible times. And as we see in verses 1 through, well, right through to verse 9, Paul talks about terrible times, times of difficulty. So I've just got a few snippets here to read. A 15-year-old schoolgirl was savagely attacked by a bully after she went to her deputy principal to say her attacker had warned her she would be stabbed. Whanganui Girls College student Robin De Jong was chased down by a teenage girl and subjected to a savage assault, which included 24 punches and a head stomping. The vicious beating was captured on video on another student's cell phone. Last night, Robin said she believed the attack occurred because she revealed to school authorities that the girl who attacked her had warned her someone was going to stab her. Two aspiring army officers have admitted planning to sell hundreds of ecstasy tablets to their military friends for a New Year's Eve party. Shane Michael McAfee and George David Anthony Steele were caught with nearly 210 pills by Auckland police while sitting in a car on Galatos Street at 11 p.m. in December. The pair said the blue pills were a big order from their mates, including other army cadets who had given them money to buy ecstasy. A young man who dropped a hefty cat statue onto the head of his mother's sleeping friend three times from shoulder height has been found guilty of murder. A jury of seven women and five men returned a unanimous verdict in the High Court at Wellington today. These are just a few snippets I took recently from the Herald website. This is stuff that's happening in our communities. It's stuff that's happening now. These are terrible times. Do these things shock you? Do they surprise you? Do they catch you unaware? Do they disgust you? Why is this happening? It's happening because, as Paul says to Timothy, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. It's quite an epic list there, but it's true, it's all true. So this happens because, as L'Oreal will tell you, because you're worth it. Why do people do these things? Why not? Nike tells us to just do it. But we hardly need any encouragement from advertising, we do them anyway. Because all of these things are simply characteristics of our human nature. They're inside all of us. We all have a natural inclination towards these things. Your parents, teachers, government ministers, your boss at work, your children, and we all know children are naughty. Your pastor, everyone, by default, tends towards these kind of things. But should we be surprised? Not if we understand the gospel. Not if we have a right understanding of our position before the Almighty God. Here, Paul is writing to Timothy, explaining that we'll see all these things in the last days. Are these the last days? I think given that Paul was talking to Timothy on how to respond to these terrible things, the assumption is that even in Paul and Timothy's time, it was the last days. And 2,000 years later, since Paul wrote the letter, we're still in the last days. These terrible things are all manifestations of our sinfulness. One way or another, either actively or passively, consciously or subconsciously, we disobey God. Should we, as those who have received salvation, as those who understand the gospel, be surprised at these things? Do we need to ask why? No. But we know that Christ has saved us from our sins. In offering himself up obediently as the sinless and perfect sacrifice or payment for our sins, he has wiped our slate clean. Clean of the sins that we've already committed, clean of the sins we're currently committing, clean of the sins we're yet to commit. And know this is important, we don't have to keep paying for the sins we keep committing. They were all dealt with, finally, once and for all, 2,000 years ago on the cross. But that's not all. You get more than a free set of steak knives in this offer. Not only did Jesus pay the price for our sins to wipe our record clean before the Holy God, just to make things even, he actually went beyond that, placing upon us the life of perfection that he lived, so that when God looks at us on that last day, he doesn't just see a neutral life, but rather he sees Jesus, his son, a life lived perfectly and to the full. As a result, we become, or rather we became, because this happened 2,000 years ago, brothers and sisters of Christ. And when Christ, after his resurrection from the dead, returned to his place at the right hand of God, he left us a counselor, a guide, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work within us. We've been saved. Our sins, past, present, and future, are not counted against us, but the Holy Spirit at work within us gives us the power to resist sin where we were unable to do so before. This is the gospel. This is the good news that Christ died for our sins, and that we are free, clear, justified before God, if we believe in Him. This work of Christ is what sets us apart from the terrible sin we see in these last days. And this is why Paul says to Timothy in verse 10, "But as for you," and so having looked at the terrible things of these last days, I want to move on to the next point. "But as for you," Paul begins to explain to Timothy what he should do in these terrible times. Verse 10 and verse 14 both begin with "but as for you." The NIV says "you however" in verse 10, but it's actually the same in the Greek as the "but as for you" in verse 14. And so this is sort of the turning point of my message this morning. We know what the world's like. We know how we're different to the world. What should we do about it? And this is what Paul explains to Timothy. So the first thing that Paul draws Timothy's attention to is, and I've given this the section in the title of "Teaching and Example." Paul explains that Timothy knows all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Timothy was well acquainted with Paul's life. Paul, who lived a life consistent with what he taught, lived a life with a mission. He had purpose, he had aim, he had a goal. He lived a life of faith, a life of patience, love, steadfastness, and as a result, a life of persecution and hardship. If you see someone, anyone, who, despite severe opposition, stands up for what they believe, you can't help but think, whether they're right or wrong, wow, that person really does believe in what they're doing. Steadfastness in the face of persecution is a real testimony to what one believes. Paul says that if you stand firm in your faith in living out the gospel, then yes, you will face persecution. But he adds this, "But evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." So us who desire to live a godly life will go the other way, from bad to Christ-like. And as with Paul, by the example of your life, you will be an example for others, a testimony to the goodness and grace of God. To live a godly life is hard. Everyone who follows Christ will face persecution, one way or another. Thankfully, we live in a country where Christians are not hunted down and dragged off to prison, or worse, killed. But there are other, more subtle and perhaps even more insidious ways in which we can be persecuted. The relatively comfortable environment we live in here in New Zealand can make us complacent. But keep this in mind. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you understand the gospel, if you've received salvation, it's already been done. We're safe in God's hands. Day by day, we live by grace, not by works, as some of us are learning in our study groups. We don't live a life of godliness out of duty. We don't do good works to earn salvation or even to earn any sort of blessing from God. We live out our lives in a godly fashion out of a desire, as Paul says, not out of compulsion or guilt. A desire to make Christ known to those who are without hope. A desire to bring glory and honor to Christ's name. A desire to love our neighbor. The unbeliever lives their life purely to satisfy themselves. But as for you, live your life out of a desire to satisfy Him who has saved you. As Paul says to us in his letter to the Romans, you're dead to sin but alive in Christ. So don't follow your sinful, selfish desires, but rather look for examples of those like Paul, like Timothy, like Pastor Andrew, like Rob, like Rosemary, like Carl and Janina, youth group leaders, even your children's church leaders. Look to those who are living for Christ. So that's the first point, teaching and example. And the next point, the second "but as for you," is Scripture. Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul had some long sentences. He didn't actually have any punctuation in his original text when he wrote. It was just... So there's some really long sentences in there. And big long lists of stuff as well. But Paul is exhorting Timothy to continue in what he's learned, what he's believed, and how from a young age he knew the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. And so that's Paul's exhortation to Timothy here. When Paul says, knowing from whom you learned it, he's actually referring back to earlier in his letter to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So Timothy not only had Paul as an example, as a teacher, but also his mother and grandmother. And so, I mean, that's something to think about as parents. But I think also something that sort of struck me as I was writing this, and I'm just going to make an aside here, is that I just wanted to sort of reassure you that salvation belongs to our God and is by grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person. We can't change the hearts of other people. It's up to God. It is not by our efforts or the work of our, you know, parents, friends, preachers, evangelists. And so I just wanted to sort of give an encouragement to parents in particular, because I'm a parent and I think about these things as well, that we don't have to panic, because the salvation of our children is not in our hands, but it's in the hands of our gracious and loving Father. Nevertheless, the Lord uses us as his instruments. He works out his plan through his people, not because he has to, but because it is a blessing to both those he works through and to those who are being ministered to. So in the same way that Paul holds up the life that desires godliness, even using himself as an example, we too should be an example to whomever might be watching, particularly as parents, since we share a close and precious relationship with our children, and our life of teaching example will result in blessing for our children. But we don't have to worry. It's not by our efforts whether they're saved or not saved. And this is a relief, because you can sort of think you've failed and stuff, but know that it is by God, by his power, working in the hearts of others that they are saved. So back to scripture. Ultimately, our knowledge and understanding, while coming by means of teachers, parents, friends, by the example of others, our knowledge and understanding comes from the Word of God, from scripture, from the Bible. Paul here encourages Timothy to continue learning because of the testimony of those from whom he learned it. So this is harking back to his previous point, where the life, the fruits that come out of living a godly life, the life of someone who's following scripture, who's living a life that desires to glorify God, this really makes an impact on people who are watching, on people who are yet to learn about the gospel. Scripture, the Word of God, is God-breathed. Not that Scripture was written and then God breathed life into it, nor that he breathed into its human authors, but rather that Scripture itself was breathed out by God. It is the literal Word of God, and so it's like unlike any other book ever written. As Paul says, it is by the word of Scripture that we gain wisdom unto salvation. The Holy Spirit opens our spiritual eyes to the truth found in the word, and upon understanding the gospel and believing in Christ, we are saved. It has power unto salvation. It is also useful for every other aspect of the life of a servant of God. There is nothing that should be added to Scripture, nor anything that should be taken away. It is completely and entirely sufficient. And if anyone tells you that while the Bible is good, you also need to read the Book of Mormon or some other book or piece of literature, then they are a liar. They are one of the people that Paul has warned us against earlier in the passage. And as we continue in our knowledge of Scripture, we become stronger, better able to resist persecution, better able to lead and to teach others, better able to live a life that desires godliness as a testimony to the goodness and grace of God and as an example to others. So, in conclusion, these are terrible times. People will do terrible things and they'll go from bad to worse. But as for you, know that if you are saved this morning, that your salvation is secure, and by the encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy, continue learning from teachers, from the examples of people. Look to people who are living a godly life, but also look to Scripture. Continue learning and growing in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that, like Paul, Timothy, and countless others before us, we've been saved from this life of hopelessness and ruin, this terrible thing, saved into a life of hope and of ultimate glory. We are also saved into a life of trial and persecution, but we will persevere by the teaching, encouragement, and example of others, and by growing in the knowledge of the all-sufficient Word of God. I hope that what we've gone over together here this morning has been encouraging. And if you have just heard the gospel for the first time, or you missed it and you want to know more, please come and talk to myself or Rob or any other of the members here at Trinity. And let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example we have in Scripture of some mighty men of God, people like Paul and Timothy, who lived their lives for you, who despite imprisonment, despite being stoned and left for dead, despite severe beatings, despite being shipwrecked, despite all sorts of terrible things that came against them, they stood steadfast for your word, and as a result were a testimony and example to the power and blessing that comes from you, Lord. And so help us to fix our eyes upon your word. Help us to seek to gain knowledge of you, and help us to understand the gospel, that it is a gospel of grace, that it is entirely by your power that we are saved. We cannot do anything to save ourselves or to add to what you have done, but we know that it is entirely in your hands, and therefore our faith is secure, our salvation is secure. We can't lose it. Once you've got us, we're in your hands, Lord. Help us to know this morning. And as we go away this morning, help us to remember these things in our daily life as we face difficulties and struggles, as we face people who would do evil, who would come up against us. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to stand strong in your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.